I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday, it is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Thank you for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. Hopefully it has not been too Monday-esque and you are having a good one. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass, Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock. That will be live from Rudy's, or you can hear it right here on Double T 97.3. We'll also have the high school fan zone tonight over on 100.7 The Score, 6 o'clock start. And for both of those, not just a whole heap load of episodes left, so make sure to tune in to whichever one you would love to hear, you know, on the high school side or on Tim Tadlock's side. We are live from the First United Bank studio. You can reach us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions from the weekend. Take us anywhere with mobile app, brought to you by Happy State Bank. And as always, we're streaming live on Fox 34 News now and on YouTube. Gus?
What up, Clint?
I hope with where you were this weekend, you had some good mixed in there. But how was the weekend?
Yeah, the trip itself was, the games, obviously not the results we're looking for, but the trip itself was good. It was, we didn't get totoed off the map by the tornadoes, but mercy, they were.
See what you did there with the state you're in.
They were all over it. Nah, they were. It was, Nebraska got it bad on whatever, Thursday night or Friday night, and we were, you know, it was the kind of thing that got the hotel room and flipped on just the whatever NBC, ABC, CBS affiliate, whatever. And it was like, you know, almost nonstop programming there because that big line, I guess, on Saturday just, I mean, like, it was all over the Kansas City Metro and obviously Lawrence on the west side of that or just west of that. But that big line, it went from like Abilene, Wichita Falls, to Southwest Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean it really did, and but that thing stayed just to the south and west of us, and so big thunder, big lightning, ton of rain, but the severe, you know, Podunk County is under a tornado warning. That kind of stuff was east of us, because I got to see Brian Haney, and I mean it was all good. The read a bunch, and just it was good other than the results on the field.
Read the books.
They have like paper pages and stuff.
I didn't know you were a reader. I guess that makes sense because you are a wealth of knowledge.
Dr. Gustafson, call me doctor.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I know you have to do that to become a doctor, I guess when I'm asking, what are you reading? That's what I'm curious about. What's Gus's go-to? Because I know you've shared stories about like reading, like athletes' books and stuff like that before. And is it more like that, or
and that's
is it
why
like,
when you asked me that, I was thinking, boy, it is.
Gus can't leave without Twilight, or also just lose his mind.
No, there's not a lot of fiction in there for me. For whatever reason. The two books that I was working on, one was a big old fat history book thing, but it was a series. I'm gonna look that up to make sure I get the name of it right. But and I read through a bunch of the stuff about World War One and World War Two. I mean, this is like a 700 pager, and I mean, I got the key 150 pages or 200 that I wanted, whatever. And then the other one is a book. It's just a collection of columns of this particular newspaper columnist in St. Louis. And, you know, just kind of his self-selected, kind of favorite columns from a 6-year period of time. And it's interesting stuff. I think his name's Bill McClellan. I think that's right. But he, Yeah, I just the beauty of a book like that. I used to, but sometimes I'll carry that like the greatest kind of a yearly greatest sports writing of 1991, 92, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can grab one of those and go, and it makes for good plane reading because mm-hmm. you're getting that particular thing would be more of a magazine length.
Yeah.
Columns, not like newspaper columns are like two pages in a mm-hmm. book. But it's easy kind of reading to pick it up, read for an hour and 10 minute flight and then put it down. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of what I was working on. Nothing project-y or anything else, which is good because it was just sort of like, yeah, I'm going to pull out a book and read, put some music on and chill. Caught a little bit of the NFL draft, followed that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of Chiefs heavy where I was. The coverage was Chiefs intense, as you can imagine.
Did they love the move in the first round as much as I did in that area? I assume from the reaction I saw all the way out here in Lubbock that old Chiefs Kingdom, mostly because they traded up to get a receiver who had the fastest 40 time ever at the combine, but also that they traded with the Bills again. I know. To trade up.
There were two narratives around that. And I guess Choice and I talked about that part on Friday by Zoom. No, it wasn't Choice. It was Jeff and I. Uh-huh. And there's sort of two first day draft drama. Had the Falcons drafted a quarterback?
Oh, my gosh.
And that was one. And the trading up with the Bills. And it wasn't a huge move. It was a moved up,
spots.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
No, was it four spots?
Yeah, it was
four
something
spots.
Like that. Yeah. But it wasn't crazy. But, they didn't move from 16 to 2 in the draft.
It was enough that they felt comfortable enough going, we need to take this just to make sure over these next three teams that they also are not interested to the level of taking Worthy off the board. But, there was so much to that. I forgot, Matt, that was, hey, Thursday night. And so you guys got, the immediate round one reaction.
Yeah, just the round one.
The Penix thing was great.
We got all the – in fact, one of our texters here was like, oh, everybody knows that he's only 165 pounds. He's brittle, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, okay, crystal ball you. Hey, tell me what lottery number to buy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it. I think
it was our guy, in fact. It was our guy.
It was our dude. Oh, our friend.
Our guy. My main man. We need a name.
Best friends that anyone could have.
We need a name for him.
Like the bat signal. The chat signal.
That's exactly it. Like Big Pick Energy or something like that. Although he's never texted us picks.
Big Pick Energy. I like it.
Uh-huh. Our boy BBE texted in.
Oh, well, BPE's already taken, so. Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll
Brendan paid employee. We'll work on it.
We'll think on that.
Workshop it. Plenty to dive into today. It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. The Juice next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. We're going all the way up to Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock live from Rudy's. And he'll be, I'm sure, asked plenty of questions about the series he just came off of. And it was not a great trip to Lawrence as the Red Raiders were swept and now on a 4-game losing streak. Now, they lost the final game yesterday 7-3, and they had a 2-0 lead in all three games, which is just odd.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the results. It's just odd that all three worked out that way.
Yep. Should have been three yesterday, runner on third, one out. Like mm-hmm. It was hit a fly ball, make it three. Maybe that changes everything. I don't know. But, the runners in scoring position woes continue, and I've got some numbers, and it's just as stark as you can imagine. I mean, it's amazing how different they are here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that later.
If you're having too good of a day and you want to be brought down a peg or two, just make sure to tune into those numbers. also, it was a series of you know, one or two big innings from Kansas, and that was no different yesterday as they scored five in the fourth, and there was some walk issues this weekend as well. Pretty much a mixed bag of bad all around.
You picked the side of the ball, and it was rough. The only thing that wasn't colossal difficult was the defense. Defense was fairly clean. Mm-hmm.
That's true. What set a program record for double plays in a game?
Set like a supposedly tied an NCAA record for a nine-inning game. I mean, but yes, absolutely. So defense wasn't bad, but yeah, the rest of it was a mess. Both sides.
They'll be in action tomorrow. Bark in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
UTRGV. 6 o'clock coverage time, double T 97.3. We'll take you up to it tomorrow. Texas Tech softball, they won their series against Houston 2-1 after winning the rubber match yesterday. In the win, Ariana Villa went 4-for-4. She's the third Red Raider to record 4 hits in a game this season. Maddie Wright picked up her 11th win of the season after pitching 7 innings and allowing just 2 runs on 5 hits while also striking out 2. That moves them to 8-13. In Big 12 play, 28-17 overall after the 5-2 victory over the Cougars. NFL draft, of course, wrapped up this weekend. 2 Red Raiders heard their names called. Da'Drion Taylor Demerson went in the 4th round to the Arizona Cardinals, followed by outside linebacker Miles Cole, who went in the 7th round to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe this is the same number as of now. I have not seen this updated, but 6 others were undrafted free agents. Austin McNamara to the Bengals, Baylor Cup to the Chiefs, Xavier White to the Colts, Rashad Williams to the Raiders, Cole Spencer to the Titans, and finally Tyler Owens to the Commanders.
So give me the count. How many was that? 5, 6?
6.
2 draft plus 6 free?
Yes.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
A pretty good crop coming out of this season. Speaking of draft picks, of course, that means the Cowboys have added new names to them, and they had 8 draft picks. Of course, you guys had the instant reaction for the first round on Friday with Tyler Guyton that they moved back to get offensive tackle from Oklahoma. They also added Marshawn Neyland, a defensive end from Western Michigan. In the second round, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. I really like this pick, by the way. I hate the school he's from. I love the Cooper Beebe pick. Right there.
No, we watched that guy do his thing for a minute. It's like him and Deuce Vaughn were needed to be together.
Yeah. Marist Liafau. Lufu.
Oh boy.
There we go. In the 3rd round as well, linebacker from Notre Dame. Also, Kalen Carson in the 5th from Wake Forest. Ryan Flournoy in the 6th from Southeast Missouri State. There's your receiver. Another offensive lineman from Louisiana in the 7th round, Nathan Thomas. And then their last pick, Justin Rogers, in the 7th round as well, defensive tackle from Auburn. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, they re-added Ezekiel Elliott back on the roster. I believe still pending a physical. I don't know when that physical is supposed to take place. That is what the news was this morning. So they still, the Cowboys, needing some help with the running back spot. They added a guy from Missouri as well. As a free agent, we'll see what happens there. But it doesn't look like they've done just a ton to calm the worries of Dallas Cowboy fans. The Texas Rangers won the rubber match against Cincinnati yesterday 4-3, and it was thanks to a big first inning. Adolis Garcia had a home run. The big news was Wyatt Langford got his first home run as a big leaguer, and it was an inside the parker.
Yeah,
and
how about that?
He was burning.
He was getting it.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of get a feel for the athlete that he is when that kind of stuff. Like, that's a big dude moving. That's not little Evan Carter flying around. That's
and I think that's something that has been apparent to me since he has been playing, you know, because it took him so long to get up to the majors. But we knew this from Florida, but he has been incredibly aggressive, not hesitant at all. I know part of this is they're sending him too, but they have not been afraid to use him on the base path whenever he gets going in situations like that. And that was just another example of it. The Astros, they won both of those games, both of their games against the Rockies in Mexico, winning yesterday 8-2. They'll be off tonight before they take on the Guardians tomorrow. Did you see any of this 2-game set over Mexico City?
Very little highlights from either Saturday or Sunday, and it was what you'd expect because they're playing at big time altitude. So it was like, look, another home run.
Oh, there goes another one. The Dallas Stars will be in action again tonight. They're down 1-2 in this series. So far, the road teams have won both times. The Stars lost both home games and then bounced back with a 3-2 win the last time out. They're in Vegas, and they will host the Knights tonight, 8:30 start. And then finally, in the NBA playoffs, the Mavericks have seen the series be evened up after losing 116-111 to the Clippers. They will play on Wednesday at 9 o'clock as that series goes back to L.A. In the loss, you had a game where Kyrie Irving had 40 points, and Luka Doncic still had 29 points but was 1 of 9 from 3. So that is not ideal on the shooting percentage there. And those are your headlines.
We the Stars had a big win this weekend because they were down. You know, they lost both games at home in Dallas, and then they get an overtime win in Vegas, and going at it again tonight. It's, you know, some of these series, they just trade road wins like crazy. It's almost like, who's got the pressure on them? You know, like the home team or the visitors or whatever? Because it's usually pretty difficult to win in Smash Vegas or whatever they call it. But the
Smash Vegas.
No, that's not right. It's Smashville, isn't it?
Smashville.
I think it's Nashville. Smashville, yeah. But anyway, the Vegas deal, like they're crazy for the hockey because it's, you know, it's a new franchise and they've won. And the Stars go in there and get that game. And so that's like, well, the Stars are still the ones that are sort of on their heels because they're, you know, you're facing going down 3-1. But, you know, these so far in that series, all it's been is road wins. And that's not unprecedented by any stretch. And it's kind of a hard thing to figure.
Well, now, obviously, if you're the Stars, you would like to keep that trend up tonight.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to get back to 2-2. Yeah, absolutely.
Big one.
Speaking of NHL playoffs, you see at Smashville.
Yeah, there you go.
Allie Walker chugging a beer from the dead catfish.
Yeah, who was the girl? Yeah, I saw that. And, like, the Sports Center anchor was just so grossed out by it. But who was I never did figure out who was drinking. Who was that? Allie Walker,
some sort of it's a country artist that I can tell that has had a lot of songs out since 2023. I'm assuming she's new on the scene.
Okay.
Just from my glimpse of someone with zero knowledge. Do we know, I think we probably had this discussion before, like how the, you know, I know they throw the catfish there on the ice here in Nashville. Like, how did that get started?
I don't know. I think it's may go back to the octopus being thrown on the ice in Detroit 30 years ago.
It is Tech Talk on Double T
97.3. The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Happy Monday to you, Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Foreman behind the glass taking care of us. We got this on the chat line, Stars at Vegas. Yeah, sorry if I said that wrong. I didn't think I did, but I did.
I knew Stars in Vegas. I didn't know if I'd, because we're talking about the Stars having
another confirming
road game.
The Stars Vegas.
Yeah. Clint may have kicked that one, but we had the right idea.
It wouldn't have been the first time. This for Mr.
I don't think twice.
Okay. I usually don't. I barely think once. This from Mr. B. The Bills are competing with the Cowboys as the dumbest organization in the league.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say I would love how the Bills have addressed their roster over the past few seasons. But
double-digit wins keep racking up, and you're going to tell me they're the dumbest organization? I mean,
I think they're about to take a step back where they're still going to be a good franchise as far as as far as win totals and as far as pushing towards the playoffs. I just think that it's going to be a while, maybe a couple of years before when we're doing all of our preseason talk and you're listening to all the NFL focused shows, where I think there's going to be a little bit of a back off of watch out for the Bills this year, because they have been that team. The Chargers have felt like that team. Like, I was just waiting for Justin Herbert and the Chargers this year. Now they're in a new a year one with a new coach with Harbaugh over there. So we'll see what happens with the Bills. But, I mean, you're right. They have made the playoffs, you know.
I mean, yeah, I know. I'm just – I mean, we all do it. It's just maybe a little polarity there in the verbiage. It's like, hey, I think the Falcons have you beat there in terms of the dynasty. Yeah. I could probably make a healthy list of teams that I would list as, you know, dumber or less successful or whatever. But yeah, I'm not gonna split hairs.
What if
that.
I said like change that to of the playoff teams?
There we go.
And I think it's funny because I do think that the Cowboys and the Bills, as far as what they have achieved with the rosters that they have had and some talent that have gone through there the past 3 or 4 years, have had a very similar feel. Like, just when you boil it down to good to really good quarterback play, not saying paid correctly, but, you know, good to pretty good quarterback play, evened with playoff disappointment. And I mean, the Bills have gone a little bit further than the Cowboys for sure, but still, like, the playoff disappointment and then just feeling like it's going to be the same at the start of the year. I feel like they have had some very similar experiences. If you sat down a bunch of Bills fans and a bunch of Cowboys fans and got to their core feelings, Gus, lay them down on the couch. Where did it all start, Bills and Cowboys fans? Let us know. You had some very disappointing numbers for us that I would love to get to. I say love strongly. Red Raider baseball, they do get swept. First, what, just as a whole, what was your takeaway from the weekend? Let's start there. Let's ease into it. Let's not dive right into the cold water.
I remain shocked by the just the ineptitude of the offense away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because I've predicted, and of course at the time I guess I predicted it, they were like 2 for 37. I was like, it's got to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. It's all the way up to like 150 batting average. Mm-hmm. With runners in scoring position in these road games, and now 12 of them. And it's just shocking how the offense disappears on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you ready for numbers?
Okay, let's do it. We eased in enough.
I mean, on the road in Big 12 play, so now 12 games in, 3-9 record, 13 for 97. And so that's just a hair probably right at 140. I mean, I'll you know, we can do the calculations on that and you can split hairs. No, it's 140. No, it's 150. Okay, you can have your 150. All right. At home, the team is just like a little over about 330.
Mm-hmm.
Batting average with runners in scoring position. You know, the home teams we've played against. So when you think about us at, for example, Kansas, what did Kansas, let's say UCF, Baylor, and whoever the other road, TCU, do against us as we were going 13 for 97 with runners in scoring position? They were going 26 for 101. Which is, you know, 250-something. And that's a little closer to these teams' kind of overall batting averages, you know, mm-hmm. roughly 260, 270. And so I've told you that that's typically how it goes, right? You know, you sort of hover in a – I'm sure somebody smarter than me could tell me about standard deviation and this and that. But it's
– That's been.
It's all in the – Dr. Borman, please report. But it's all in that neighborhood. The fact that this team's hitting two in Big 12 play just on the season, and again, I'm only doing conference games because I know everybody will get all their jollies on with the Texas Southerns and all that stuff, and I get it because I don't want those numbers factored in either, because we've got a couple players that when you take – well, we've got one in particular. You take his – Texas Southern and Gardner Webb out, and he's like hitting 110.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he didn't play very much anymore. But you know, this team hits 277, and so you would expect that runner and scoring position deal to be in the same zip code as that. And it's just, you know, and we're 12 games in, and it's 14 for 97. And that's just a shocking number. Excuse me, 13 for 97. And our, you know, our pitching's allowing 26 for 101. And so that, in general, that's a whole lot closer to a mean type number.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at home, we're up over 300. And so it's just, I mean, you always expect this team to do better at home. It's a more favorable offensive environment. They're more comfortable here, blah, blah, blah. And we all got the, they, you know, both sides of that deal got to deal with the Houston wind and just how just outlier that was. But it just doesn't add up. It just does not add up.
Well, and that's because, like, you can go through just the genuine trope. Hey, you, in any sport, where do you typically play better? Play at home, sure. And especially when you do the outside factors with it, and you know the park.
Sure.
But I would say probably every team across the country, you know, hey, we play better at home than away. That's just the basic
fact.
But have you ever seen it this stark in the difference?
And I spend some time, like, and I haven't done it in a while, but I usually like to spend some time on this type of question because I think we as fans, me included, we look back and go, well, the 2019 team didn't have any problems with da 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 da. And then you go back and look like, hey, in this stretch right here, you know, I wish I could go back and do what we all do, which is like, you know, gritch and moan about everything. And then it's like, go back and snapshot. Because I famously have a snapshot of a buddy of mine in 2019 in the middle of hoop season going, this is a 9-9 team. Let's just get ready for next year. Yeah, I reminded him of that in the Final Four.
Yeah,
so the crap happens all the time. But this, and so I'm always trying to step out of that and sort of step above it and look at numbers and go, no, the 2016 team did this or that or whatever or had this kind of a losing streak or, you know, was comparable. And I'm afraid that the only numbers sort of comparable to this within the last 10 years are going to be the 2015 team, which was Tim's only team that didn't make the NCAA tournament. Now, you know, they need to make a push here mm-hmm. in the last little bit, and they're going to get to do it against the first and second place teams in the league, and that's the problem.
Hooray. And they're both from the state of Oklahoma. Extra joy. Yeah. It is Tech Talk on Double T97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. Hey, we're live from the First United Bank Studio, Red Raider Baseball, with Tim Tadlock. That is, of course, 6 o'clock start for that. Also a 6 o'clock start for Garrett Luft in the high school fan zone. LISD tonight. Coaches from Coronado at 6, Estacado 6:20, Lubbock High 6:40, and Monterey at 7 o'clock. Again, for both of those programs, not just a ton of episodes left, kind of running out on the old schedule. So
I think,
make sure to get those in.
Yeah. Cause tomorrow's the last midweek game for I mean, not counting that final weekend where it's a Thursday-Friday deal, mm-hmm. but it's – yeah, and so the – and I think they've got two Mondays left. I think Tim does with his show. They may have had to push the one back that was kind of moved around, the very, very, very first one that was moved around, I believe, on the night of the Brady Trumbello.
Yeah, right.
Deal, but yeah, he, and so I can't remember exactly, but I believe we announced on the radio broadcast yesterday that there's two more shows, so tonight and next Monday, I guess.
Speaking of that show, I mean, you want to talk about a great example of what I think the whiplash we've had this year as fans of just going back and forth and back and forth. I mean, just a week ago, how are you feeling coming off that West Virginia series? Looking forward to a coach's show, to the 180 of coming back home from Lawrence and going like, oh man. I'm not saying it's just, well, at a barbecue place. It's not just going to be a butcher shop over there. But at the same time, I mean, you go from, well, we talked about this after West Virginia. That looked like what your ceiling could mm-hmm. be. And then you follow it up in the midweek with kind of looking at your floor, and that floor felt like in certain regards just carried over in through Lawrence. Like yep. you said, the defense wasn't just horrid, but mm-hmm. as a whole, you just played bad baseball all weekend.
Yep, all week. Yeah. And that you know, the Tuesday thing was easy to erase as it happened, as it, because, you know, and I'm sure it was, I mean, I don't know. I would assume a game like that sort of warrants a, you know, a wake-up call type thing from the coach. I said this last week, I don't think he went in there and did fake Chris Beard, punch the thing and put a cast on his hand and act like he's a tough guy, you know, throwing chairs or whatever else. Now, he did have a long post-game dugout huddle mm-hmm. On Saturday. Like right there, like, you guys get in here, you know, and so who knows what that, well, we could probably guess at what that was, but because that, you know, that Tuesday game, a game like that that gets away, it's you know, you have a midweek game like that every couple of years, it's not a line them up in front of the firing squad. But in, you talk about just the ups and downs of this year, and really the ups and downs of this year are, can almost be drawn in a perfect line to, yeah, we played at home this yeah. week, road that week. And this, think about this Big 12 schedule, home, road. It's perfect. Like, yeah. we didn't have any two-game road trips. I mean, two weeks in a row gone, 2 weeks in a row at home. Mm-hmm. It was the perfect road home, road home, road home. And
you literally, just as a fan with it, have played ping pong.
Right, because
well, how do I need to feel about this season?
Because of how they sort of disappear on the road. And,
And it's equaled perfectly to a .500 record in conference right now.
Absolutely it has.
Yeah.
And big, big challenges ahead.
You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We got this on the chat line for Marcus. People love Josh Allen. What has he actually accomplished? Yeah, I think it's part of it is he is put in, and you can say Joe Burrow, Hugen's coming out, you know, he's coming off an injury, so maybe a little bit different, but he has certainly worked his way into this conversation as being one who has got past him and got to the Super Bowl. But whenever you have a Tom Brady, whenever you have right now a Patrick Mahomes, you're trying to find out who else can play on that level. And by on that level, a lot of times it's going to, you know, you're going to face each other, right? You can put Lamar Jackson in there now as well. And I think that that's why he gets lofted up into that, is because when you're going through quarterback tiers in the AFC, right, like the Bills have been a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals have been a really good team. The Ravens are a really good team. And so with that, when you start getting put into those conversations and your name is being muttered in the same sentence, it carries a lot of weight. And he hasn't been able to get past Mahomes, and instead it's been Mahomes going off and winning in Super Bowls or playing in Super Bowls. And I think Josh Allen, in those names I mentioned, has caught the worst of it. I also don't love how they've constructed the roster around him. I think he's had a head case of a receiver to deal with in Stephon Diggs, which has not helped of late. I think he has a head coach that says very strange things about certain events in the U.S. history to put that towards the game of football. I think Josh Allen, if I were to sum it up, has had lofty expectations and hasn't reached them, but still played plus football for his organization.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And has been an organization guy that you can build around. Has it been perfect? No.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, and so we've all got Mahomes to sort of compare him against, and like you said, so has he been the best of the best? No. Are the Bills relevant? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, 5-6 his first year with him under center, and 10-6, 13-3, 11-6, 13-3, 11-6. I mean, that's a, you know, putting in the postseason, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, with wins in all of those years except for the very first year. So, in terms of what has he accomplished, he's accomplished that. Now, has he conquered Patrick Mahomes? Nope.
But again, when you get put with that name,
yeah. Oh, I understand.
Mentally, you get really, like, raised to that
it's
level.
It's like we said earlier, who's got the dumbest thing? You know, nobody's been dumber than the, like, and nobody's been worse than, you know, like, hang on a minute. I can give you a list of dudes that are a whole lot worse than Josh Allen.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Monday. You got Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. It is getting crazy in the First United Bank studio. Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock here on Double T 97.3, live from Rudy's. And then over on 100.7 The Score, same start time right here in the First United Bank studio with Garrett Luft. It is the High School Fan Zone, LISD edition tonight. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Gates Flooring Center chat line. We'll get some thoughts from that chat line here in just a moment. Take us anywhere with a mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. And as always, we're streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And if you'd like, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Double T 97.3. Also on Instagram. There you go. Hashtag Double T 97.3.
I mean, we had some sad news over the weekend. The Red Raider baseball player, 1990-1991, Mike Adams, passed away. And which he would have been teammates with Tim and was kind of, you know, buddies with him back in the day. But Mike was an Odessa Permian, grew up in Odessa, played at Permian, was here for a couple years, and had stayed in touch. Came, in fact, I last saw him at the baseball reunion in November. I might have seen him in February. I can't remember it, in Arlington. But his sister lives here, and I think mother lives here now. And, you know, way too soon, way too young. Yeah, sympathies and condolences to certainly family and friends, and count me among the friends. But yeah, that's that was tough news, and it was sort of unfolding over the weekend, and, you know, he talked to some of his teammates and kind of got the news out, because that was what was being asked of us. But yeah, it was a tough deal there. Hate the thought of that.
Yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Sooner in Lubbock. Those Jayhawks certainly helped their case.
Absolutely.
They did.
Yep.
he also said to that palm reader, probably the last place you want to walk into in Shreveport. Another case to walk in at 1 p.m. instead of like 1 a.m. to a place like that. I have to say, the Tech baseball weekend sucked worse than the Cowboys draft. What did you think of the Cowboys draft as a whole? I mean, did you put much weight into it?
It's kind of what we all do with the draft every year. We act excited by it. And like, hey, they got a tackle in the fifth round. We need a tackle. And then you're like, what? Hey, we need a corner. There's a corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Like the Chiefs, and I'm amused by this. And of course, I was with the baseball team in Kansas City. Told you, we just watched the news. Or in fact, I watched an inordinate amount of news Saturday night, because all heck was breaking loose with the tornadoes.
You were watching for the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then just, you know, rolled into the 10 o'clock news and watched it. And like, all right, you know, some sports, whatever. And of course, it was Chiefs heavy. Because, you know, Royals and Chiefs, which is perfect, but it was funny to, or it was amusing to me to watch, like, the news anchor lady as the guy runs through the thing, and then the crosstalk after the thing, and she's like, hey, you know, a lineman in the seventh round, need another one of those, you know, like some guy, and it literally is like a seventh round pick from Holy Cross, tackle or whatever. Yep. Like, that guy ended up having a nice career. He maybe cut in August, you know, but I'm just thinking, and I was thinking, the poor lady's just making conversation. You know, and then, but you know, it's just like, All we're doing is looking at a name on the page on that. So we, us, no, not the team. Yeah. We're saying to us, like, hey, my team drafted a tight end. We need a tight end. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you have no idea if it's going to be a hit or not, or what you like about the thing or anything else. If the dude had kicker beside his name, would, you know, might be a typo. And we'd be going, okay, yeah. It's nice to have a good kicker. You know, like, just, it felt like they – I felt like the Cowboys, at least at the very top of their draft, didn't go with something shiny and another receiver or getting the, you know, like, to me, they did, they drafted sensibly, but not, you know, not, I get it. I understand why people wouldn't be excited by it, but like they addressed a couple of needs.
I really, for all of the faults that the Cowboys organization has had with the shackling of contracts that they've had over the past 5 years, I think the drafting has gotten really good. But I was trying to ride the wave as it was going of, you know, just social media reaction anyways of Cowboys fans as you went in. And then you had the first night where you trade back, and there was a lot of angst with that pick because you're going the position – I think in most people's minds, jumping forward to is a running back, but you don't draft a running back in the first round unless it's like a end-all, be-all type of running back, and that guy just wasn't in the draft. And even then, how that position's been devalued, you don't feel great about it. You know, all that stuff you're doing, trade back, you get a tackle, and I was like, big woo-hoo. And then, you know, you get another pick, third pick's another offensive lineman, still not a running back, and you're going, okay, all right, and or still not a running back. And you just kept on doing that throughout the draft. And it was like, okay, we're not doing what you're saying. We're not making just a quick jump at something shiny or flashy. And then at the end, it was like, wait a minute, we didn't get a running back at all. And so then it was like right back to angst. And so I feel like the reaction as you went through rounds 1 through 7 in the end was you got a nice defensive end there from Western Michigan, stuff like that. Got a linebacker in there from Notre Dame, kind of your 1 through 3 who you're picturing being a somewhat plug-and-play type of guys, impact as a rookie type of guys, to in the end going like that, like what we just got on the chat, kind of the, well, wah-wah.
Right.
Not blown away by it. Doesn't make me feel any better. And I don't know if there was a draft scenario that would make you feel good after the offseason you've had of being all in and then doing nothing. You're the Cowboys, but when you add in like your nitty gritty type of guys and you don't have any of the sizzle, and I'm not saying they should have,
sure,
it is hard to walk away from that. Just if you were already kind of down in the dumps heading into the season, this was not the draft for you. It's not to say it's not the draft that wasn't needed, because you needed a lot of those positions,
right?
But again, the running back discussion, and you signed a guy from Missouri, Nathaniel Pete, I believe. I think he started his career at Stanford. And it's like, oh, well, there's our number one running back. Oh, wait, you signed Elliott. There's our number one running back. And it's like, okay, well, is it because that they're worth that position, or because you kind of have to right now?
Sure.
Like, who else is it going to be? So that was interesting watching Cowboys' reactions of like, yes, no, yes, no, throughout the draft.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.